The match was great. Probably the second or the first best single match of the night, singles match. First or second best for me. Dom, amazing first title defense. Fuck you, Blood. Penta, you've gone after the Intercontinental Championship multiple fucking times, but you can't get the job done. Why? I don't know. Anyways, the match was amazing, and so stupid ass Chad Gable. I just hated the finish. I hated the finish of the match. The only way I feel like they could have revived it, and I said this as I saw Gable coming out and like headbutting Penta, is, oh my God, what if they all jump Penta and then we hear anymore. Ray Phoenix comes out, but then I'm like, oh wait, no, he's doing the stuff with the Garzas right now, so it wouldn't make sense. But yeah, shit finish to an absolutely good match.
All right, child, let's move on to one of my favorite matches of this whole entire night. And I'm not just saying that because it's Gunther, okay? Gunther versus Pat McAfee. This match at Backlash, a lot of people were hating on this match. A lot of people were saying, like, oh, how, Gunther was over there facing a commentator, and Pat McAfee, he's just taking spots from, people that does that have been working there for years that deserve to have that spot on the card. And just this match was horrible and just the worst. And this right here is a perfect example of what real old school wrestling is, in my opinion. Okay, this was the perfect angle that you would see, like, back in the day. So a lot of wrestling fans today, they're used to seeing, crazy spots, high flying, and all this, all these moves all over. And but this right here, this is classic wrestling. Okay, this is like the baby face. The people want the baby face Pat McAfee, who they care, who they love, who is super over, to beat Gunther, even though a lot of people knew that Pat McAfee wasn't going to be able to. But there was still, like, when Michael Cole got involved, the people were going crazy for it, and there was urgency, and they were like, the people care, they got into it. And that's what wrestling is, basically. You want to see the baby face beat the heel, and that's basically what we got here. Is Pat McAfee fucking Ric Flair in the ring or Shawn Michaels? No, he's not. But you still care for the baby face. You wanted to see Pat McAfee beat Gunther. And man, the fucking people were throwing fucking they're throwing their hands in the air. Oh my God, what's there was so much drama. It was exciting. This is wrestling, you guys. And for the people that were hating on it, they just probably did not see any like old school classic wrestling, because this was it. But who's up on this one? I believe it's BT. Go ahead, BT.
I wasn't able to witness the Puerto Rican crowd live for Backlash 2023. I wasn't able to witness the French crowd in 2024 live for Backlash, but I was able to witness the crowd in 2025 at St. Louis live for Backlash. When I tell you, I had chills in my veins before the Gunther versus Pat match. I cannot describe to you how good that felt. Classic babyface versus heel type of match. Fuck me, I was in a fucking groove and then I had to get kicked down and fucking glitched. I swear to God. Anyway, seeing Michael Cole and Pat McAfee be involved in a story that actually makes sense and actually is entertaining for somebody like me is such a privilege and such an honor to see. And it's so good to see that for somebody like them, you know? Because I know about the whole Michael Cole thing and how he was booked back then as this irritating commentator, this irritating heel commentator who had to say everything that Vince was shouting in his ear. And, you know, for years I was thinking, why did people hate Michael Cole so much? Because when I listen to him nowadays, he's analytical, he breaks things deeply, he's sometimes very biased, but that's what makes him entertaining. You know what I mean? But, yeah, after I learned about that stuff, I was like, justice for Michael Cole, because he deserved it so much better than what he got, you know? But then I got to see this match, and it got me emotional a bit, because when he went on the Logan Paul podcast, the Impulsive podcast, and he was talking about, I'm pretty sure he was talking about some of the stuff that he went through in 2011 and some of the shit that Vince had to force him to say and things like that. And then watching this match in particular, it just warms my heart a bit. You know, yes, Pat McAfee should have gotten a bit more time to really showcase how good he is in that ring, because motherfuckers forget he can fucking go in that ring. He can go in that ring. But I understand it's for story purposes. I understand that Pat's goal was to put Pat's goal was to put Gunther over, right? As this monster, right? I just wish Pat had of been able to get more time to really showcase what he's able to do in that ring. That's the only criticism that I have for it. Michael Cole interrupting, fucking perfect. Him trying to get Pat to win the match, holding his feet down near the ropes. I actually thought he would have won that match that way. Then Gunther kicked out. I was shocked. And then Pat put the sleeper on him. I'm like, no way. No way he's going to tap out to Pat now. Ain't no fucking way. And then Gunther, with the meanest clothesline, landing Pat McAfee on the top of his fucking head. Jesus Christ. I thought his neck snapped. I was concerned. I'm like, I was shouting in my JR voice, somebody get the damn ER on the phone stat! I was concerned. I was so concerned. I was like, stop the damn match! Bro. But yeah, overall, those were my only criticisms for this whole thing. For a fan like me, I enjoyed this match. Yeah, I, fuck, why am I getting emotional now? I enjoyed this match. Much respect to Pat and Gunther for putting on one of those old school classic matches. Sorry that it took a while, but yeah, those are my thoughts.
Okay, so for someone like me, who was in high school and going through high school when I had to live through the Michael Cole super heel era, it wasn't just bad. It was go away heat. Like, people didn't, that there were people who genuinely stopped watching Raw because they had to listen to Michael Cole the entire 3-hour show. Because back then, a lot of people forget, this is back when they fused Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, but still had SmackDown. And they used to call Raw the Raw Super Show. And it was Monday Night Raw, and in blue underneath it for SmackDown was Super Show. And SmackDown stars crossed over onto Raw regularly every week in feuds, but also appeared on SmackDown itself later that Friday. And this was the era where we had Jerry Lawler as the babyface commentator and Michael Cole as the super heel commentator, to the point where they were in a match because of this Mania. Probably the worst WrestleMania match in history culminated in this. And Michael Cole has gotten hate ever since then. This was, they put Michael Cole in commentary behind a plexi fucking glass box so people couldn't get to him. He was always just riding the Miz's meat, and he was always just up Jack Swagger's ass with praise constantly. He even had Jack Swagger train him to face Jerry Lawler at Mania. It was go away, get off my TV heat. Like, the worst part about Raw was having to listen to Michael Cole. Now, we know this was all Vince in his ear. So I agree that when you fast forward to now, and even within the last, you know, 7-8 years, Michael has really become this kind of really appreciated commentator. And the one thing I love about Pat was his ability to constantly put Michael Cole over, this veteran in the game, longest running ever professional wrestling commentator of all time for a single company. He holds the record. I think it's like 28 years now. And in 28 years, Michael Cole has only ever missed TV 3 times. I've called out of work because I had a video game that I got the night before that I was going to play. This man has not missed work more than 3 times in 28 years. This match was great, and we all said that we wanted Michael Cole to get involved in this match because it made sense. We all thought that, you know, I had it a bit more booked in my head, like, okay, well, he'll attack Michael in the ring. You know, it'll be vicious, more vicious. And he did try to attack Michael. And then here comes Pat for the save. I was surprised that based on the reactions in this match that Pat was getting, I genuinely was surprised. This is the only match of the night, the only match in the entire card that did not get This Is Awesome chance. The only match. And I was like, wow. I thought they should have given Pat a bit more offense. I really did. I was surprised we didn't get to see that super suplex, the jump up suplex from the top rope. I really thought we were going to get that. Like, you know, Gunther would go up for his big body splash. Pat would get up and meet him up there and flip him. I thought that was going to be the massive pop moment. And I feel like had we got that one spot, it would have gotten This Is Awesome chance. But I love that Pat was selling his ass off for Gunther, as he should. I definitely love, and I said it, I was correct, the match had to end with a tap out. I said it needed to end with Gunther putting Pat to sleep. It had to end with a submission so he could get back that submission that he lost to Jay. I said that needed to be the finish. But I also love that Gunther, at the end, kind of gave Pat flowers and showed him a sign of respect. I thought he was going to shake his hand, but he basically said, you know, I tip my hat to you. All in all, I think it was perfect storytelling. I think it's great. For a short, like 2-3 week feud, I think it did what it needed to do. It definitely got Pat and Michael even more over, and they were already over as a commentary duo. But the people who hating on this match, as Snug pointed out, I feel like you guys are the people that just, you know, hang on Corey Graves' every word, right? Bitching and moaning that Pat McAfee, a fucking NFL legend here as a punter, okay? He's won Super Bowl rings, okay? And you're angry that he's a lead commentator because he brings more eyes to the product. He's on ESPN with his own talk show, and Corey Graves is just married to Carmella, and we've been listening to him whine and bitch the way that Michael Cole did back in 2011, and you think that you're what? You think you're different? Corey Graves, and I'm going to say this point blank, Corey Graves is a shit commentator. Let's be real. He's a shit commentator. His only go-to moves are, I'm going to be a heel, and I'm going to pick on my commentator partner. That's it. That's it. That's all he's ever been. Pat, and remember, Corey got sent home because he verbally and publicly bitched that Triple H picked Pat over him because I'm not famous enough. And that's why he got moved to NXT, because he only got asked to do commentary for NXT one time, once, and he took it as a demotion because Pat's more famous. No, Pat's more entertaining, Corey. Pat has heart. Pat is fun, and he makes wrestling fun, because when I look at Pat, I see a guy who is a big fan of wrestling like all of us, getting to do what we wish we could, be as close to the action as possible, and he's just a big kid wrestling fan getting to sit there and talk about wrestling 3 hours a night every Monday. And that's why Pat's great, and this match is great.
Yeah, the match was great. Like everyone else has said, I really wish Pat would have gotten more offense. It would have been absolute nuts to see that jump up suplex or superplex. I don't know what it's called. It's either of the two. But I just hated bits and pieces of the match. But the bits and pieces that I hated made me actually kind of like it. It's like Sammy and that one dude from Jackass at WrestleMania 38. It's like that. It's funny, but the match was kind of shit. It's like that. It was like that. But yeah, Pat showed Gunther to not mess with the commentators unless he knows what he's actually going to get into, which is tapping Pat out and getting a world title shot. That's exactly what he got. Fuck Gunther.
I will say this. I will gladly right now with this match give Pat McAfee his flowers. For the people saying that he's just a commentator, he proved he's not, that he can still keep up with the big boys. He truly can. It may have been a slow match, but he still was able to keep up. And I absolutely love that. But I just feel bad for Pat as well, because he posted a picture directly after the match. His chest, man, it was beat up beyond recognition. It was bad. Like, I saw that picture of him, and I'm just like, damn! You truly don't realize how powerful Gunther's chops are until you see a picture directly after a match and see the aftermath of these chops. Because holy crap, like, damn.
I'd like to point out that Gunther was holding those chops back too, if you go back and watch. He was holding back on Pat because Pat's not an actual wrestler. Go back and watch. He pulled those chops.
Yeah, he was definitely holding back. But Pat McAfee's chest was still severely red. Like, it was bad. But I will say this, and I don't think anybody else has said it. I was out for a second, so I didn't hear the ending of Blood into Toxics. But he truly did give Gunther a run for his money. It's like, people don't understand how good Pat McAfee actually is. He's not just a commentator. He's not just a football guy or a baseball guy. He's truly not. He can still hang there. He can still hang around for sure. This was still one of the most predictable matches, for sure. Because we all knew Gunther wasn't losing. And, like, he truly wasn't. There was no possible way that he was losing in this match. There just wasn't. But, hell, I even said that he'd go out in a stretcher. Yes, Pat McAfee did go out cold. It wasn't even a tap out. It was a knockout, practically, is what happened. It was a pass out. It wasn't even a tap out. But with this, I will say that we all knew it had to end that way. It truly did. The main goal was to put Gunther over. That is exactly what happened. Even though Pat McAfee hasn't wrestled in quite some time, he still gave Gunther a run for his money. And there is no taking that from him. There's just truly not.
Well, speaking of predictable matches, I think the main event was also pretty predictable, only because we kind of already knew that John Cena was going to retain, even though there's a little part of me that was hoping that Randy Orton was going to win because it's his hometown, because it's Randy Orton, because this is their final match. But I really didn't have a whole lot of high expectations for the main event, you guys, because we've seen these guys wrestle countless times. We saw how the main event went. It wasn't really like a fucking crazy ass match. Like, these two guys are veterans. We knew it was going to be a different style match, not the usual modern day stuff that most wrestling fans are used to seeing. Let's call it how it is. We all expected a slower pace match. And I was actually pretty surprised about the type of match that we got. The main event between John Cena and Randy Orton for the Undisputed Championship, it was exciting. There was drama. There was, you know, referees were being taken out. There was false finishes. These guys, I was really impressed by the main event at Backlash, you guys. Finally, John Cena was able to get the win. He retained. And, man, we were talking about earlier, what's next? What's next? What's next for John Cena? What's next for Randy Orton? But overall, I was really happy with this main event, you guys. But what did you think about this, Blood?
So I was the person who kind of went on a polite rant about this. Because I said I'd been watching John Cena and Randy Orton versus each other for well over 20 years. And I have. I've seen every single match ever televised that these guys have ever had on pay-per-view or on regular free TV. I've even seen about 15 to 20 different house match footages of them too. So I have literally seen these guys wrestle hundreds of times. Hundreds. I'm not even exaggerating. And when I sit there and think, well, what's the match going to be, right? This is John's first title defense, but Randy and him are both pushing 50. It's got to be a slower paced match. I have got to eat a little bit of crow here because these guys worked a faster match than I thought they were going to. That being said, by the 20-minute mark, John had not done anything different than four moves. He did the same repeated movements, but in the same four moves. We're talking punches, the comeback, attitude adjustment, five knuckle shuffle. Like, we were at the 20-minute mark. He had not pulled out a single different maneuver that he had started doing on his last run. No sunset flip powerbomb, no springboard stunner, no hurricane ranas, no powerbomb. Stuff that he had started adding to his repertoire just at the end of his full-time career, where he had fleshed out his movements. I mean, Randy, again, punch, gut kick, eye rake, 10 count punches. When he went to 20, like RKO, backbreaker, hangman DDT, the same thing we see over and over again. They hit way more finishers in this match than I thought they were going to hit. That's for sure. I don't even know how many attitude adjustments got nailed, like 4. And I think it was like, aside from Randy exploding on security and producers, I think he RKO'd John like 3 or 4 times. He didn't get a punt kick. I love that ever since December, we've been teasing that punt kick, and we have still yet to see a punt kick. Like, come on, either hit it or stop setting it up like you're gonna hit it. Please stop teasing me. But that being said, I think this was definitely one of their better bouts against each other. Is it the best match these two have had against each other? No. I think the best match these two have ever had against each other was the I Quit match. The one where he hangs John from the turnbuckle post and he tries to wake John up because John's passing out. He squirts water in his face. Don't you pass out on me, John. And John spits the water back in his face and Randy just... and goes and gets the kendo sticks and starts whipping John, in JR's words, like a government mule, until he is just bruised. That's their best match. This was serviceable. However, I would be remiss if I were to say that for their final ever match, I was a little underwhelmed. And I'm kind of disappointed that this is their final ever match. I would have hoped this would have been the balls to the walls, pull out every single thing they could ever pull out on each other. The ref fucking, you know, let's get it. Like, we got a table. That was great. But like this could, in my opinion, their final match should have been like a no DQ match or a Falls Count Anywhere match. Like, take it all over the arena. Make it the biggest spectacle you could possibly. It's the last time they'll ever face each other, unless they lie to us. Remember that whole once in a lifetime? And it was twice in a lifetime? You know, like, as far as I'm concerned, if this is their last ever match, it left, in my opinion, a bit to be desired. It was fun. Right guy won. R-Truth popped in. That was an interesting thing because it plays into when John ran into R-Truth backstage, I think it was last week, and when he was walking out, he just kind of looked at him, and R-Truth was like, John, if I ever do anything for you, you're my hero. I'll do whatever I can for you. Just name the time. Wherever you need me, I'll be there. And then all of a sudden, here's R-Truth in the finish. And you're like, and John took R-Truth's innocence, even though he's like fucking 7 years older than John. And black don't crack, my friends. And he literally used, I think the story is going to be that he manipulated R-Truth's fandom into serving his purpose. Because you won't boo R-Truth for helping a heel if R-Truth doesn't realize that he's helping a heel. You know what I mean? So I thought it was fun. Great way to end the match. Great way to end the show. It got this as awesome chance. It just wasn't. When you tout it's the best, it's the ending of an era, their last ever match. To me, end of an era is Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in a Cell. Never going to ever face each other ever again. That was the way to end that whole story between those three men. Never again after this. Hell in a Cell, 43 minutes. Let's go. But this did its job. Enough said.
I enjoyed the main event a lot, even though it was the same damn shit over again. It was entertaining more than the entire show, other than the Fatal 4-Way and Dama and Penta. The match was great, yes, all that, but we're gonna talk about how Truth, or not Truth, Cena AA'd Truth at the post show. Yeah, Truth went in like, I'm so proud of you, John. And then he's like, even if people say you suck and you can't wrestle, John's like, wrong. You say one more thing, and I promise there will be repercussions. Truth goes, but I just wanted to, and then Cena picks him up, AA. So I hope at Saturday night main event we get Truth versus Cena. Yeah. But one more thing, and it's not, it's kind of important, but I think they showed this, but after the match, and Cena's done ranting to the crowd again for the millionth time, he's kind of emotional as he's walking backstage. What I think that is he's starting to regret turning heel. Like, no, I hate these people, but what have I become? I don't feel the same as I used to. But they're the ones at fault for this. But wait, no, it's me because it's my own actions. So I feel that John is stuck between, oh, I want to be healed because the people are the one in the wrong. But he's like, no, I want to turn face again because I'm the one in the wrong. Like, basically what Punk said on Raw. He's not mad at Seth, which he is. He's not mad at Breaker, which he is. He's mad at himself. Basically, I think that's what John's going through after beating Randy Orton.
Maybe he does regret it, Tox. Or maybe it's the realization of this was the final one. A rivalry that has been around and has been called one of the greatest rivalries of all time. One of, not the, but one of the greatest rivalries of all time. This is the end of it. This is the final one. Maybe just the thought of that. It's the same way when he stopped and just stood there for a second to take it all in at Elimination Chamber. Yes, he was face when he did that. But it's the same type of thing. Where he's just standing there, looking around, getting teary-eyed. Because he knows this is the last one. This is the last time he will face Randy Orton. And Snug, you yourself asked, what's next for Randy? Well, I'm here to answer that question for you. They've still been hinting that Punt, he still needs to get his hands on Kevin Owens. He needs to do that punt on Kevin. Illegal move for an illegal move. He still needs to do it. That is what is next for Randy Orton. It's him finally getting his hands on who he should have gotten and would have at Mania. Toxic, no. For those who are just listening, he did the Joe Hendry turn in his damn chair. Because of course he fucking did. But with this match, I will say the realization of it, I understand why he got teary-eyed. Because again, this is the end of an era. One of the greatest rivalries of all time just ended right there. We all knew it was going to happen the way it did. Although, one of us really wanted Randy and bet on Randy. B.
Actually, it was me, not B.
Oh, yeah, it was Tox. Never mind.
And I didn't bet on it.
The point still stands. You put it on the books.
Shut up.
But, yeah, with this match, I will say this. For what we got and for how old they actually are, it makes sense to have an entire match that is just one massive callback. That's what the entirety of this match was. Even though it had a lot of attitude adjustments to it. It truly did. Randy even pulled out a couple. This match was one giant callback to every time they were in a rivalry in the past. And I absolutely love that. Because it takes what they used to do, their entire history, and ends it right there with a crap ton of callbacks. This was the end game to their era, to their rivalries. This was the end game. And I loved it. Was it a little bit underwhelming knowing the fact that we all knew this match was coming as soon as this tour was announced? Yes, it was. But for what we got, I personally loved it because it ended all of their rivalries perfectly.
Ah, for such beautiful words that Tommy spoke, I'm going to shit all over them because I slept through this match and didn't actually watch it. I did not watch a single highlight of this match. Actually, the only things I saw from this was R-Truth making his interference. And the same ass WrestleMania 41 bullshit ass finish. The RKO, the AA got transferred into an RKO. And then R-Truth getting AA'd through the press conference table. Those were the only things that I saw. And I'm very glad that I didn't watch this match because I do not connect to the Cena and Randy feud like everybody else does because I wasn't able to live through that sort of moment. And, yeah, I just thought it was a good moment to just knock myself out and catch some Z's. Woke up at, like, freaking midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning the next day, and then saw those highlights. So yeah, got the sleep that I desperately needed, but probably at the wrong time because I slept at like 11:30 in the morning. But I didn't watch the match. And I'm kind of glad that I did because it looked like a fucking finisher fest.
So this was your piss break match.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
I would like to highlight, I did say that I thought that this would be the least anticipated match. Remember, I said that I thought that Lyra versus Becky would be more anticipated than this. Remember that I said that because I said I've seen this match so many times in every conceivable way they could have ever done it, that Lyra v. Becky was more tantalizing to think about the possibility, and I'm going to say a real hot take here that many of you are not going to agree with, and you can kiss my ass. Becky v. Lyra 2 was a better match than this. It was a better one-on-one match than this because it was an actual wrestle match, not a 50-50 spot fest that was basically coasting on nostalgia and a one last time tagline. If you really strip away the over presentation of this will be the last time we ever face, the world championship is involved. It's John Cena's farewell tour. It's Randy's hometown. You strip all that away, this is probably the most boring match on the card. True shit. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Because even Gunther versus Pat, though it wasn't a spot fest, there was more emotion in that match than there was in this one.
Snug can say that you're wrong, but overall, you're not.
I know I'm not.
You are. He just hates Becky. You most definitely are. He just hates Becky. You most definitely are.
Yeah, I agree with Snug. Blood, you're wrong.
You're most definitely wrong. And I hate to say that because that's your opinion, but I'm going to say it. You're wrong, Blood, because and I'm going to make this quick because we got to get out of here. The Fatal 4-Way was the worst match of the night. Let me tell you why. You can't have a safe wrestling match. And I love Jacob Fatu. I love Drew. I love all those guys in the match. But you can't have a safe working wrestling match with four guys in the ring at the same time, no matter how good they are, no matter who it is, without making it look obviously fake and choreographed the way that the Fatal Four Way match was. Like you said, Blood, this was a spot match because there's so many people in the ring. This is why I don't really like these multi-person matches. And we've seen them countless of times. That's why I liked Lyra versus Becky better than the Fatal 4-Way. I'm glad Jacob Fatu won. I'm glad we got Jeff Cobb. But I'm not going to sit here and say Randy Orton versus John fucking Cena was the worst match compared to Becky Lynch versus Lyra. I'm sorry, but I will never agree to that. Never.
Is that because you don't like Becky, or are you thinking about this as someone who understands wrestling psychology? If you're talking about the better worked match, the better wrestled match, it's Lyra and Becky. Because Randy and John, they did a total of 7 moves in a half hour.
But is that really a question?
No, I'm talking about, look, I know how to separate the person from the art. I know when to admit if something is good, even if I don't like the person. I'm just talking about, we're talking about John Cena and Randy Orton, two of the greatest to ever do it. Just one person combined in Randy or John Cena probably has more years of experience with Becky and Lyra if you put them together.
That's true.
But I mean, what are we talking about here?
But if you think of Randy Orton's and John's history, this is probably not even cracking the top 10 of their best matches. And I've watched every match they've ever had.
Okay. Here's my question for you. If you have the shocking opinion that this Fatal 4-Way was the worst match of the night, what do you think was the best match of the night?
That is a good question.
The thing is, though, the Fatal... because, again, it comes back to what I said. There's a difference in matches here. One is a spectacle. One is the ring psychology match. John Cena versus Randy Orton was both. It was spectacle because of what it was, mixed with an actual psychology worked match. There was psychology. There was heel tactics. There was reversals. There was one-upsmanship. There was thieving of the moves. There was psychology in there with the spectacle of it being the main event, the last time I'll ever do it, the title's on the line, Randy's hometown. If we look at it pragmatically, the actual worst match on the show, though it has a lot of emotion behind it, the worst match on the show, and not because it's bad, but from a work rate level and an overarching performance level, it's Pat versus Gunther. But if you're talking best worked in-ring match of the night, that's Lyra v. Becky. If you're talking about the best spectacle on the show, that's the Fatal 4-Way. If you're talking about the biggest match on the card, that's Randy v. Cena. So it just depends on how you're categorizing it. Worst doesn't mean bad. Worst is a synonym for least. So it can be what was the least match on the show, what was the highest match on the show. So you're not wrong, Snug, in saying the Fatal 4-Way for you was the worst match, because if you pull it apart, it's a full-blown, hey, we were in here last night and earlier today before the show started, and we choreographed the shit out of this so we could get every sequence correctly and all the timing right. If you're looking at John and Randy, who were just calling it in the ring because that's what they do, because they're so old school, that's the best worked match from a veteran standpoint. But if you're talking technical ability, Lyra v. Becky. If you're talking excitement and, oh my God, this is going to be a car wreck, that's Gunther v. Pat. So it just depends. Is your opinion wrong? No, it's your opinion. But at the same time, we have to look at it for what it is. If you strip different things away from all these matches, they have to stand on their own 2 feet for what they are. That's why I said you take out the title. You take out the hometown. John Cena's farewell tour. You take out the fact that they're legends. And you just go John Cena and Randy Orton for half an hour, and they've done a total of 8 moves repeated in half an hour. That's the worst worked match on the card. If you're talking about the Fatal 4-Way, and it's all choreographed, and it looks choreographed, because it did, and I'm going to give that to you, but their timing was correct, you can't even call that a worked match because it was all rehearsed over and over and over again for timing. I don't consider rehearsal matches worked. I consider them prepared. Worked to me is y'all go out there and y'all are fucking on the fly, or you're calling it. You might have one or two rehearsed spots, but everything else is on instinct. And that's where Becky is a great match. That's where Cena and Orton is still a great match. And by the way, I'd like to note, we barely heard John call any spots 10 volumes high in this match. But all in all, I don't disagree with you on the Fatal 4 match. However, it was still a lot of fun.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here, you guys. That was a Backlash review. Let us know on the comments what your favorite match was. Hit us up at Snug Wrestling. What was the worst match of Backlash? What was your favorite? I know we're a little late on the review, but better late than never. Yeah, until next time, thanks, you guys. Thanks, thanks, Blood. Thanks, I was going to say Snug Crew. Toxic, Tommy, okay. BT. We'll see you guys on Friday for SmackDown. Have a good night, everyone. No yeet. Bye.
Four letters. Four letters. Four words.